Good morning. Yeah, this is a study that we did in 2017, and some of the data that we actually obtained from the study was used in applying for a specialty crop block grant, and we were successful in that sense, so we are very optimistic in terms of where this project is heading into. As a little bit of background, Indiana is a quite important player in the national cantaloupe market. We were first in value and sixth in production nationwide in 2017. Unfortunately, we had a huge decline in production since during the past two decades, and most of that was contributed to foodborne illness outbreak that we had in 2012-2011. About 33% of that decline since 2011. So that's pretty alarming to us, and there are some other contributing factors as well. You know, more competition from states around us, and we are also limited to growing in the southwestern part of the state and to just a few varieties at this point. So we are thinking that expanding melon production into high tunnels might help mitigate the decline in acreage, and it also might address the issue of foodborne illness, and maybe we can grow a wider variety of different specialty cantaloupes that might be more suitable for the market around us. There's several research papers since 1998. It started with Daniel Cantliff at Florida University that did a lot of work on the trellising, vertical trellising of melons in greenhouses. So we thought it might be a production system that we might investigate in Indiana. So we wanted to evaluate three production systems on and how that affect yield and product quality, and then also looking at a selected range of North American type cantaloupes and Charentais varieties. So Charentais varieties are very flavorful, they have a nice aroma, and we don't really often see them a lot in the market, especially in Indiana. So that is something that I thought might be a good addition. So in terms of our materials and methods, we looked at three systems. In the high tunnel, we were producing in a soilless substrate, which was a coconut coir, and we also produced in the soil. And then we also had a traditional open field planting that we followed conventional practices in. So when we produced in the soil, we were actually using raised beds with the traditional drip tape covered with a black plastic mulch. And we included eight varieties, and it was a spring-summer crop. These are varieties that we included, so three cantaloupes, and then we had four Charentais varieties and one Anana Charentais cross. This is what some of the varieties look like, the external and internal characteristics, and you can see some of them have a smaller seed cavity than others. This specific variety Inspire was a little bit softer, and these are the kind of things that we still need to figure out with the consumer, what would they really like. Is it a softer bite? Is it a more crisper bite on the melon? And those kind of surveys we are going to look at in our next phase of the project. These are some more of the varieties, and all of them are actually Charentais types. This is what the production systems look like. On the left, the high tunnel soilless system. In the middle, planted in the high tunnel but in soil. And on the right, the traditional conventional method. So in the high tunnels, we actually trellised all our plants vertically, and we removed all the lateral shoots from the bottom up about half a meter on the plant, and then we allowed fruit to develop on those laterals, but it was limited to one per lateral. And in the end, as the plant matures and the fruit starts to grow, the plant will condition itself in terms of how many fruit it will hold in the plant. But in future research, we might actually employ specific pruning techniques to actually have that fruit spread across the plant or just have it in the bottom section, depending on what the economic data is going to tell us. In terms of nutrient management, in the soilless system, we use a complete nutrient solution. We run it at 2.5 millisiemens per centimeter, and we were aiming for a pH of 5.5 to 5.8. In the soil, we were looking at the soil analysis, and we did the recommendations according to what is available in the soil. On this slide, what is important here is on the right-hand side. You can see, and this is going to have a huge impact on the results in the end, we managed really to push up the planting density in a vertical system quite a bit. So melons were harvested according to their respective maturity indices every 1 to 3 days. At harvest, we counted the melons, we weighed them, and we also kept 3 melons behind to do some width and length measurements and also some internal fruit quality parameters. So those are some of the melons there at the bottom, just about a week or so before we started harvesting. We had some plant disease challenges. I don't know if some of you know what cucumber beetles are, but they are a very persistent pest in Indiana and in our surrounding states, and they transmit bacterial wilt in a separate tunnel. We actually tried to do this organically, and yeah, we failed because the bacterial wilt just destroyed the entire crop in that sense. So we thought that this might be a good parameter to look at as well, and some of the varieties were actually more affected by bacterial wilt than others. French orange were one of those, but they were two, Lilliput and Escorial, were actually not affected at all. Powdery mildew is another disease that is quite important when it comes to cantaloupes. And savour, which is one of the Charentaises, were really very badly affected, and that affected yield for that variety. Again, cultivars like Lilliput and Sugar Cubes had almost no powdery mildew on them. So the eye tunnel soil-grown system was, the experiment was done in a different location, and we actually had no wilt or mildew issues in that location. Some of the data that we got from this trial, and you can see here, is where I said that planting density played a huge role in terms of what our output was. So in terms of the open field, you can see here that it had the lowest yield, fruit, number of fruit per plant, the lowest yield per hectare compared to the other ones that performed extremely well. The fruit size was a little bit larger in the open field planting, and then obviously we can see with the fruit width and length, it was a little bit larger in that sense and probably contributed to the fruit weight. In terms of firmness and the sap pH, we didn't have any data for the open field planting, but in the other two plantings, the sap pH was pretty much in the range where it should be. Fruit firmness probably could have been a little bit better, but it was a good start. What was really important for us is to look at the Brix component, the total soluble solids, and the open field planting actually performed extremely well. And we thought that that was an aspect that we could really manage well in the tunnel, and in the end, we didn't get that good result there. Coming back to number of fruit per plant, you can see here there was no significant difference in that sense. So it was really just that pushing up the density that made a huge difference in yield. Still within the production systems, just plotting the cultivars in that sense, and you can see again the bottom line there. That's the open field planting, so quite a low number of fruit per hectare, the yield per hectare, but then again, in terms of quality, it was standing out quite a bit. Looking at individual varieties and how they performed, we can see Lilliput was pretty constant throughout all the systems. It was also one of the smaller varieties that we actually looked at. And the reason why we were aiming for this 1 kilo to 2 kilo fruit was because they are hanging on the plant. So you don't want to have gigantic fruit on the plant. They will just fall and break the plant apart as well. So, and we were aiming for this specialty market section. So where you have maybe people that want to share a melon, or they want to eat it within a few days and not have a melon for a week in the refrigerator. So we were aiming for the smaller size melons. And you can see here, Sugar Cubes was also pretty good. In terms of the Charentaise, which is in the bottom block, they didn't perform that well. And one of the big reasons for that was we had a lot of cracking, fruit cracking happening at the blossom end. And that is a very common thing with Charentaise varieties, so you have to really be good in your water management, which we were not able to do at that point. And also we have these huge downpours in terms of thunderstorms outside that you can't really control. So it's a real problem outside, but maybe we can fine-tune techniques inside the tunnel that will help us to prevent that. But in terms of the Charentais, Artemis was doing pretty well in the soil system, so I think there is potential in that sense. In terms of fruit size, you can see again here the open field was superior in terms of size compared to the other ones. Not necessarily that we would like to have a 1.5 kilo fruit. We might want to aim for something smaller. It all depends on what our consumer survey will say in the end. Yield per plant, it was higher in most cases compared to the tunnel production area. So again, it was the planting density that really pushed us into a much higher production category per hectare. We are also looking at developing a model as per variety as to what the performance is. So farmers would like to know, you know, how much am I going to harvest at this point during the harvest season? It helps them to plan, you know, in terms of market and how many people they have to hire or how many cartons they need to pack in and all those kind of things. So this was just a start in terms of looking at how many melons, you know, in terms of days to harvest from transplanting, do you get at that specific point with that specific variety. So this is a model that we would like to develop further. Yeah, some of the quality information again, and you can see with the open field, the bricks was a lot higher than with any of the other two systems. And if you look at the USDA classification, we were pretty solid in the class one there, but with the iTunnel systems, we were actually sometimes not even, most of the cases, not even meeting a class two standard, which is very bad. So we should, we're going to focus our efforts on that to improve that quality. Fruit sap pH was pretty much in the range where it should be. And then firmness was a little bit better in the soilless system than in the soil system. But I think a lot of these can also be refined in a better way, looking at the maturity indices and learning those specific indices for those varieties better so we can harvest them at an optimal stage. Some of the conclusions and recommendations. In terms of our production systems, the open field planting produced fruit that were about 15 to 17% larger. The sugar content was a whole lot higher, which was great. Our taste testers in the department really liked all the fruit that were coming from the field. But yeah, our yields were superior in the high tunnels, and as I said before, it's really about that increase in planting density that made us get up to 3.5 times higher the number of fruit compared to the field, and also 2.8 times higher yield compared to open field production. So if you compare these numbers to what we are currently getting in commercial plantings in Indiana, the systems, especially the tunnel systems, outperformed any of these two varieties. These two at the right-hand side, Athena and Aphrodite, is the most common varieties grown. And that's data from the 2017 cultivar evaluation that's done in Vincennes. And you can see here the high tunnel systems really outperformed in every situation. But there are some considerations that we have to keep in mind when looking at producing smaller varieties, which I will come to in a little bit. So some of the varieties, or most of them in the high tunnels, took a little bit longer to get to harvest, to get to maturity, and that's basically just because we actually pruned some of the laterals away at the bottom of the plant. The Charentais did pretty poorly because of the cracking, especially Saver. Cantaloupes, in terms of lily pit and sugar cubes, has a lot of potential, had very little production issues, and Artemis was really the one on the Charentais side that might have potential. Quality-wise, the soilless system in the iTunnel was a little bit better in terms of quality, but the open field we saw, the sugar content was amazingly high, and there are some theories around that. We do lose a lot of light transmission coming into the tunnel just because of the glazing material that's being used. The ambient temperatures in the dye tunnel is also much higher than in the field, so we have a lot more growing degree days in there. Plants are growing a lot faster. And then you have plants growing on the ground versus trailers, so there might be an impact, and that's something that we are actually investigating currently. So coming to some economic considerations, because ultimately that's what is going to make a farmer decide what's going to work or not for him. trellising of melons require labor. So either you use a trellis net or a single string. Single string and clubs do require a little bit more labor than the trellis netting, but you have additional inputs like high tunnels and other infrastructure that you need to grow this in. And it's not necessarily that you are shifting the production season doing it in high tunnels. You merely protect the plant against rain, and you can, hopefully we can control quality a lot better in future experiments. And then again, handling more fruit. We have like double or three times the number of fruit that needs to be handled, so that's going to have a cost implication. so yeah, something that we're going to try this season is to actually use a netted sack to hang this fruit in and see if we can look at that and better define the maturity indices and look at the more diverse pool of varieties. So I'd like to thank our funders, Purdue Ag Seed Grant, was crucial in funding this project and the Mary Rice Grant, and then I would like to thank my collaborators. Thank you.